Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Barney, I feel really bad for Julie Andrews.
Why is that?
Well, she had to survive 30 minutes without her assistant, Charlotte, because she was too busy speaking to us this week.
Look, she has money, she'll get over it.
True say. If you hadn't already guessed, in this week's episode, we speak with actress Kathleen Marshall, aka the woman who invented headsets. Sorry, Brittany.
Kathleen gives us the lowdown on her favourite memories working alongside director and father Gary Marshall, as well as discussing what it was like shooting scenes with Anne Hathaway.
Keep up the grass!
And get ready because the tea is truly served, ma'am. We want to acknowledge you, Kathleen, for your amazing contribution to the film. You know, we feel like we need to give you an award, a golden pear or something.
Genovian golden pear. Keep it on brand.
There were many awards given out on this film. I got an award because I say Genovia more times in the first hour than anywhere. My friends call me and they're like, "Why you say Genovian pear like 20 times?" So yes, is there a gag reel or anything on the extras? Because my dad literally gave Julie and Annie these little awards one day, these little gold statues for best acting while airplane was going overhead. Because this one day, like, this airplane just kept going over. Every plane was taking off from LAX and they had to keep stopping and stopping, and they had to do the scene so many times because of the airplane sound. So yes, he loved to give out funny awards. I accept the Genovian Pear Award.
Yay!
So this film is going to be 20 years old next year, which is honestly mind-blowing. What do you think it is about this film that has let it maintain such a legacy and resonate with audiences even today?
I think it's really interesting that when it came out, it was one of the earlier sort of Disney doing live action more than the animation, where this was sort of the first princess kind of to cross over, as opposed to like a Parent Trap and those kind of films were being done, Lizzie McGuire. But because this sort of had this Disney magical, and yet it was live action, I think a lot of people really, to see Julie Andrews again, to see Anne Hathaway be, you know, launched onto the scene, it had a lot of new things for the time. I think at the time it was made, and, you know, Julie hadn't really done anything like this, I believe, in a while. And so, yeah, so I just think it kind of came at a right time and a right generation and a right group of young people that connected to it. And he did an interesting job of creating, you know, we hadn't seen the really awkward high schooler in a while. And I think everybody feels like the awkward high schooler, and they latched onto that.
I feel so lucky and blessed to be alive at the time that it came out and be the perfect age group to be enjoying the films.
There's a online kind of movement to make sure that Mia is officially identified as a Disney princess. It's funny, like, people kind of miss her off, but she is a Disney princess. So we've got to make that happen.
That's so interesting. I didn't know that about it, but that's interesting. You know, it does play like some of those. I have a 12-year-old, and I have 25-year-old nieces. So the nieces were there when he made it. So he kept showing them the dailies and asking their opinions. And they were like, so they were five when he made the first one. Wow. And now as my daughter, she's now 12, but when she was in like the first or second grade, I would notice all the little girls would start looking at me funny one day. And it's because they had just seen the movie and they realized who I was, but they were watching it for the first time. And this is in 2013, 2014. But I could always tell when it had run a lot on the air or that it was re-released, because these little girls would start looking at me with these big eyes. And so I know that the next generation is also, you know, like you watch Cinderella again and you watch all of the Disney Mulan and all of them again. You, Princess Diaries is in that loop of the kids that of that age start watching it. So for, it's forever sort of reconnecting with a new group.
Please tell me that you now walk around with pearls and a headset in front of your daughter's friends.
Isn't that funny? I mean, wasn't that, now it's so, everyone has them, but back then we thought it was high tech.
It was high tech.
No, well, truly, the first thing in my hand that really, really won was a Palm Pilot.
Wow.
I don't know if you guys are too young to even know what that was, but it was not even a BlackBerry. It was a Palm Pilot. And it was silly because I don't think it was a phone, was it?
We can't tell you enough. Barney and I, we're always like, oh, I need a Charlotte. And we never say like, oh, it would be so good to have a PA. It's like, I need a Charlotte.
She knows the right flowers.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
She has
everything. Oh, I love that.
And there's just so many amazing Charlotte moments in the film. I know one of my favorites is the scene when Charlotte is watching Clarice give Mia some princess etiquette lessons. And the bit of dialogue where Clarice tells Mia that crossing your legs, it is not princess-like. And then the camera cuts back to Charlotte as she slyly uncrosses her legs and without anyone noticing. I think that was such a lovely moment and just so funny.
Thank you. That was a really fun day. All of those different versions of trying to figure out how to make that interesting and fun. And Julie was so game. I mean, Annie was great and would fall over, but at first you're just not sure how Julie's gonna take it. And she's so funny and she was so game to play around and make stuff up and try different things. And yeah,
I love that, because didn't Julie Andrews, she made a bit of a subplot, didn't she? Because originally she wasn't going to have this kind of romantic relationship with Joe. She obviously told your dad a few things, you know, can we do it this way? Yeah. and stuff. But she seems like such a lovely woman. So it must have been so amazing to work on set alongside these people as well.
Yes, and it is interesting. They were very collaborative. I mean, my dad has always worked that way in his directing, and he always likes to, you know, kind of come to the scene and see what you can add a little here, a little there. I heard recently that on their first meeting, Gary and Julie, she said maybe they'll be known for pears and cheese, and she just sort of threw it out there and he went right and it was there. And so when she appeared on set, it was pears and cheese and flowers and, you know, and so it's funny, you have to be careful what you say around him sometimes. You could, you know, because he would just give it. It was in it. But yeah, she was very collaborative, and so was Annie and obviously Hector. And that's even why, you know, my dad used a lot of us. My brother is in it. We were kind of these utility people that Gary knew he could count on to just whatever the scene needed, we could pop in and out. And we had such a good time doing it.
Yeah. Is your niece in the film as well? Is she the character who says, I'm not allowed to go to the party? And it's so cute. And Barney quotes that a lot.
I quote it too much, too often.
No, wait, is that, which one is that? I'm not even, oh, no. Do you know who that is? That is Hector Elizondo's granddaughter.
Oh.
Wow. Okay, got it.
Who that is. My nieces are, when they're outside the school, when they first find out she's a princess, my nieces are the two little girls that want her autograph.
Oh,
that's so cute. Oh,
she comes up the stairs. Yeah. And their friend is the reporter and their dad is there, I believe. I mean, any... Yeah, extra scene is many of my relatives. But yeah, and Mandy Moore is there. And that other friend, the other Lana, is a friend of ours, who's great. I mean, she was an up-and-coming actress at the time, yeah. But what does she say? I'm not allowed to go to the party?
Yeah, I'm not allowed to go to the party.
Go to the party. Yeah, yeah. That's Hector's granddaughter. I forgot that.
Oh, it's so, so cute.
I was watching an interview with Anne, and she was saying that your dad was never afraid of a spontaneous moment, you know, if it was good, it was in the movie. So did you have any ad-libs that made the cut?
I mean, the famous one is when she slips on the steps and falls on her butt in the rain. That happened. And of course, everyone is like, is she okay? But he kept it in. It stayed. It was a total accident. And Hector's like running, you know, hoping she's okay. Yeah. I'm trying to think if I had, my dad had a word called chuffa chuffa. To be honest, I can't even know how you spell it. But it would be like the tops and bottoms of scenes. He would just say, well, chuffa chuffa into the dinner party. So when I'm out there and we're kind of setting up that the one guy is going to be drunk at the dinner party, mm-hmm. going into where she sets it on fire, I can't think of that as a real stunt coordinator, that guy. And we just like kind of made up a bunch of things to get him into the party, but show that he was drunk already. And like then we didn't want him to be too gross. Might I just say, chuffa, say something, just say something. And ultimately, some of what was in and out, but it was just sort of like he needed a lot of flurry, and I just started talking. So things like that, a lot gets cut out, but like one piece would be on the top of that scene. Or there is no one better at making stuff up than Larry Miller. So, I mean, that was just a roller coaster of all those makeover scenes when he would just say some bizarre things and you have to go with it in the makeover.
Oh my gosh, that scene is so iconic and so, so funny.
Oh my gosh, moose kills. I mean, I laugh about the moose every time I see it.
Because I said this to Barney actually the other day, but I don't think that's in the first Princess Diaries, but there is that line where he does say that, you make all the boy mooses go, oh, and it's so, I'm sorry to do that impression in front of you.
It's like he's in the room.
That's so good. Oh my gosh, see, I sometimes do confuse them. Is that in two?
That's in two. I think in the first one, she's like, you broke my glasses. And he says, well, you broke my brush.
That's right. That's right. Oh gosh, the moose. So yes. Oh my gosh, that's right. The glasses and the brush. That's right. Yeah, he was very funny. I love that. I love him. Oh my gosh.
And what's so great is that so many of the cast in The Princess Diaries have appeared in previous films directed by your dad. Like there's, I think I counted 5 actors, including yourself. Hector Elizondo, yourself, Larry Miller, Alan Kent, who plays the waiter during the dinner party scene. And he has the exact same quote as he did in Pretty Woman, which I think is such a nice touch. The last actor was Patrick Richwood, who played the neighbor, Mr. Robitussin. And I just love that there's this connection between all of your dad's films. Was that a conscious decision?
Yes, there's sort of a famous quote. I'm not sure if it was Tom Hanks or Richard Gere who said it first, but they both sort of use it. My dad didn't so much as direct a film as host a film, and he really liked to have his party guests, you know, people he liked to work with. So he was really lucky and felt grateful that people would come back because he loved to work with people again. If they got into his loop and they knew how he worked and they had a good time, he loved it. So yes, he would use people again and many different reasons, right? They knew his shorthand, that he kind of had a funny accent some days and you had to kind of understand. And he would say, like, somebody new on the set and he would be like, okay, English, I'm doing it in English. But he had this sort of these made up words like chuffa chuffa. And I think there were like 4 others. But anyway, so people like Alan and certainly even at a higher level, I mean, Hector and he had this amazing relationship. Like they just could like raise an eyebrow at each other and they knew to go change or faster, slower or help someone. I mean, they just had this mental telepathy between Hector and Gary. That I loved. And yeah, so he really did try to work it out if the roles fit, to bring in people that he knew what we could do. He knew what he could ask of us. And it made for a really fun time. I mean, movies are very long shoots and long days, and sometimes you're in remote locations. So it should be fun because it's amazing to be able to do movies. And he always had a good time, and bringing people that enjoyed that as well was important to him in the process.
Of course, you must have just admired your dad so much. It's cool anyway, working with directors, but if it's your dad, you just must be in so much awe, and you must be just so proud of him, and he must have been so proud of you.
We had a good time. Yeah, he was... my sister just said this the other day, I thought it was interesting that he really was funny and fun, and aside from Everyone's Mother, when he was my dad in my like late teen, early 20s, where my dad made me crazy, he was really fun and the person you wanted to like sit next to at the party, and which is true. And he loved to gather everyone together, and he was impressive. We were really proud of him, and we believed in his strength as a director, that he had this creative vision, and we were glad he could share it with the world.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And obviously, you've continued your father's legacy by founding the Gary Marshall Theatre. And I was watching a YouTube tour that I found online earlier, and even the foyer is just incredible. There's memorabilia from all of your dad's past works all across the walls. There's merchandise from the Happy Days and scripts. It's amazing. So I guess I'm interested, what is Charlotte's real day-to-day life like? How has that been?
So my day-to-day life, I still run the theater and the nonprofit, so I still have a headset. I still have a clipboard, actually, strangely enough. I have the clipboard with me a lot. I really have cut my hair, though. I have to say, I think my hair is not held up in the poofiness and style as it was in both of those movies. So I sometimes like to flatten it a little more.
Hey, Charlotte has to evolve.
In my daily life here.
Exactly. I'm sure it looks amazing.
Trying to think of what other pieces of one, I definitely converge the two together. But one was just very special because we had never done it before. And so creating the characters and working on, you know, everybody kind of was invested in Mia's arc and of this turn of her becoming this princess. And my dad felt really strongly that moment where she has to make her own decision and stand on her own 2 feet, and is what every person should experience at a young age, to be able to stand in front of people and be responsible. And so he loved that story of a young person doing that. So, and we were all very invested in that. And the first one is very different than the second one in that way, that I think it really is a coming of age story that's important. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, as well, we needed to say that Whitney Houston was one of the movie's producers.
Absolute icon.
Yes. It's incredible. She has a wonderful producing partner named Deborah Martin Chase, who actually found the books, and she works on the Cheetah Girls. And so Deborah Martin Chase and Whitney Houston were developing projects for young women and coming of age women, and they just had a beautiful perspective on what they wanted to make. And Princess Diaries was one of them. They optioned the book, and they wanted to make it. And Deborah today is still a fantastic producer, also connected to live theater. She's on a board of a theater in New York, and she sits here in LA, goes back and forth and produces wonderful work, and they believed in it. And Whitney was sweet. I only met her once, but she was there. And I wish I had a picture of it. I believe it was my dad's birthday. Anyway, she came to the set for this one day, and I did get to meet her.
There is a video on, I believe it was the DVD extras, but it can be found on YouTube, of Whitney wheeling out this cake for your dad and singing, which must have been such a moment.
Oh, it's there, so you've seen it. Was it my dad's birthday?
It was, yeah, I believe so.
Oh, thank goodness. See, I have to call in so I can confirm my stories. I am for good. That's great. Oh, good. Good to know.
Oh, no, it's incredible. And Whitney Houston got to meet you, which is, you know, she got to meet Charlotte.
Yeah, absolutely.
Charlotte Cutaway.
Yes. Yeah,
and you know why? I mean, is it online why I'm named Cutaway?
I was interested because we never, I mean, I don't think we hear the surname. So, yeah, but if you can shed some light.
Oh, yes, Charlotte. I was named after my niece because my nieces at the time, the twin five-year-olds, were Lily and Charlotte. So Lily maybe was even already in the real book of her friend Lily Moskowitz, the friend.
Mm-hmm.
So they named me Charlotte so that each twin would have a name in the movie.
Oh.
But then Cutaway, he named me because Cutaway is a shooting term. So when you shoot the main scene, so if he's doing a longer scene between Mia and the grandmother, you need to be able to have something to cut away to if you want to shorten the scene or change the scene or jump in later. So I was kind of in a lot of the rooms with them so that you could cut away to a shot of me and change the story that was going on. So if they're talking about she has to be at the ball, she has to be at the ball, what she's going to wear. And if it goes on too long and they want to cut a piece out of the middle of it or the side of the, they can cut away to me and jump back in at a different part of the scene.
Oh,
so it's a filming technique. And so they named me Cutaway because for whatever reason, a lot of these scenes were two-person scenes. He always needed me hovering around. So in case he needed the cutaway shot, which, you know, my brother, a second unit director, could get like the next day, that night. Like I wasn't always there. Usually I was. I mean, usually I was popping in and out. But every once in a while he would say, well, go get a scene of Kathy behind that wall because then I'll cut away to her. So we finally named me Charlotte Cutaway.
That is such an amazing fact.
You have blown our minds. That,
honestly.
I love that.
I'm just like...
Well, if you see, if you go look, I'm always alone. Like if in the shots a lot, you'll see they'll cut away to me in the garden and I'm like alone. But that's why, because it was that just cut away and come back and cut away and come back. So yes, there you go.
Wow.
My brother's a director. He probably could explain the details of that kind of directing more, but that's what I was. So I showed up. I wanted a badge. I always thought I should have a little badge that said Charlotte Cutaway.
Now, Kathleen, bit of a non-serious question, but something that has been plaguing Emily and myself for 19 years, pretty much.
Oh, yes.
This motif of M&Ms appearing in the film. You have Mia sending Michael, her love interest, a pizza that says sorry written in M&Ms. And there's also M&Ms on the keyboard when he's playing in the car shop. Unless it's a deleted scene, I don't think these M&Ms are ever explained. Can you shed any light on these?
That's funny. I so remember the pizza guy who delivers that pizza was our Rumpelstiltskin at the time at the theater. He was performing on stage at the Gary Marshall Theater.
No way!
Falcon Theater at the time, and Gary was like, come to the pizza man. So, but yes, so... Well, I will say, and I don't know what the other actors would say, but I know that my dad always wanted different actors needed different props. And so he always, when he would talk to an actor, he would say, you know, do you want stuff in your hands? Do you not want? Like I was a much better actor when I had stuff in my hands. So I had the clipboard and I had the Palm Pilot and I could focus on things and then I could be in scene. Now, not everyone, like Hector is sort of not someone that needs a lot, but he looks and he scans the room if he wants something. Yeah. So with Michael, I think my dad just put that in there so that he would have something, you know, around to focus on. I thought there was a reason she sent M&Ms on his pizza. He doesn't reference it. Now I got to look and ask my brother. I don't know. But I know that he wanted Michael to have some stuff around, and that was one of the things that he had, but I can't remember.
Because we wondered if it was M&Ms, it was because Michael's surname is Moskowitz, so we thought it was Michael Moskowitz. That's why he liked M&Ms.
I'd believe that.
I'd believe it. But then we were like, was it just product placement?
I like that. Yeah. I don't know. I like that. Let's just, you know, I have no idea. That's hilarious. I have no idea, but I like all those. That's a great description of why it could be.
We'll pretend it's that. Yeah. That's the reason.
Well, I'll tell you what, we can make sure that it gets revealed in Princess Diaries 3, which I'm sorry, we're speaking into the universe. It will be happening.
I know.
I mean, there's been rumors for a while, and I think when Anne was on a talk show,
she's discussed it. She's said that she wants it to happen. We just kind of feel like if anything can save 2020, it might be Princess Diaries 3.
It might be that. Yeah. I know. You know, my dad even had conversations about 3 before he passed away, and they were really, he and Annie, I think Annie was actually even pregnant with her first son, and Julie, and they had some different calls about it. I know Deborah Martin Chase is absolutely, you know, keeping it sort of alive too, and Annie. And I think it's just now, of course, different coordinations. I think there was, you know, a lot of discussion of what it's about that I don't know. You know, I'm the same as you. I keep putting it into the universe. I'm ready to show up as Charlotte. And I really hope, I think that there are some really good characters there, and there's some joy to have in a 3. And so I hope that it comes about.
Of course. So if it does come about, where do you think Charlotte's going to be? Is she going to be married with 3 kids? Maybe she's married to the Genovian pear juggler.
Yes. Well, right. Oh, the pear juggler. So in the end of 2, I joined Parliament. There were no women in Parliament in 2. And so at the very end, it might even be in the excess, but I thought it got left. There's a shot of me putting on the white wig and the gown and walking in as a new member of Parliament and letting women into Parliament now. And that's sort of the end when she's writing in her diary. So I guess I went on to be a representative in Parliament after the Queen moved on. So yes, I think I would either be, you know, in some legislative branch maybe now. I don't know. I hope that I'm in some way still supporting the princess and the queen and around the castle and all of that. So yes, I hope for that, but maybe in a more in the parliament.
Well, listen, if the third installment isn't happening anytime soon, let's at least make a plan to have Princess Diaries the musical at the Gary Marshall Theatre. Oh, that's what the people want.
Yes, the people
yes,
want that.
Wouldn't that be fun? Oh, you're so sweet. Thank you both. Yes, I hope all of those things continue on. I know the musical, it's very interesting, isn't it? And a lot of people are developing a lot of things in this downtime, I guess.
Exactly, and now's the time.
If you need any extras, if these films or the theatre production does happen, you know who to call. We can be pair jugglers.
Yeah, right.
Work on your pair juggling.
Yeah.
Always a good skill. Keep it around. That's great.
Oh, well, Kathleen, thank you so, so much for taking the time to talk to us. This has honestly been such
incredible.
A treat.
Well, lovely to chat with you and remember some of these times. And let's just thank you for having me on. Have a good luck with the other ones. I now want to listen.
Oh, thank you so much.
You. And hey, when we talk about Princess Diaries 2, we'd love to have you back on again.
Apparently it is a little more front of my mind, that one, so yes, I would love
Barney will dress up
not
as a moose.
Not quite as long ago. There you go. Oh, cheers. Please do write me again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.